This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited about today's episode with my guest, Beth Flecker. Beth has a very deep faith in the Lord and has walked and journeyed through many different seasons of her life where she has experienced his presence and his goodness, and I cannot wait to hear about it. I've been sitting with bated breath as we've been talking in the studio before coming on here with you guys just to hear more, and so you guys are going to join me as I learn more and more about her story. So Beth, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Jessica.
All right. Well, I want to learn about your background. So can you tell me a little bit about your personal background and then the background of your faith? Just how did that spark in your life and how did you get rolling with the Lord?
Sure. Well, I was blessed by being born into a Christian household, and I have three siblings, and we would go to church. My parents are from small towns.
And where were you born?
I was born in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Okay. Military family.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Daddy was there with the Army. I was born in Tripler Army Hospital. But most of my life, I've been in Virginia. My parents were raised in a very, very small town in West Virginia. So when they moved here, they found a small church because that fit their personalities. So I was raised in a very small Bible-based church. And it was our village. It wasn't really until my teenage years that I longed for something a little more. I did get baptized, and I was age 12. So the church I got that we went to, it was a personal decision. And so I made that decision pretty young. I knew Jesus before that, but it was when I decided to give my life to him. And
I want to know more. Do you remember anything?
I remember a lot because I had some misunderstanding about this step in faith where I thought, oh, I have to get my life together before I take that step. And of course, that was never happening. And I kept failing. So I thought, no, I'm not there yet. And then finally, older than me, but still a younger person, explained to me really that we live here in the flesh, and we're never going to be perfect while here, and that's the whole point of needing Christ is because he continually forgives us and works with us. That's what encouraged me to take that step of faith, to get baptized, and then just give every day to him, all my failures to him, which is constant. So that was
talked to that person and they explained that to you. Was that something that you went home and kind of mulled over, or in that moment did you, feel like you needed to pray, or was it just like a awakening?
It was an awakening.
Okay.
I mean, an epiphany, literally. It was like, aha.
Wow.
And so I didn't waste any time. I got baptized.
Okay.
If it was not that day, it was the next day. It was immediate.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
Fun.
Yeah, I just needed that. I needed that clarification. So if anybody listening doesn't know, that's how it works.
I just had a long conversation with a friend a couple of days ago about the difference between believing and recognizing your need for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference. There's a big difference between believing that Jesus is who he says he is, that God has met our needs and so forth, and then acknowledging that you need him, that you are not enough without him.
Right.
And so I actually love that you brought that up. It goes right along with a conversation I was just having with a friend recently.
Neat. Yeah. Yes. Every day I'm a sinner, and every day I'm in need of a savior. Mm. So.
So that happened, you said, around 12?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, so then moving into your kind of like high school years, you then, there was a more stirring in your life, or tell me about that.
Well, so the church, as I said, was very small, and I was friends with the few in the youth group, mm-hmm. but they weren't my only friends. Mm-hmm. I felt a little bit like a black sheep. I don't know why.
Right.
That was my own issue, I think. But I did always long for more depth, more people, more opportunities mm-hmm. than I found there.
Mm-hmm. So from that point forward, I mean, obviously you've lived a lot of life since that 12-year-old moment, and then kind of seeking in high school. What else do you want to tell us just about really, you know, experiencing the Lord along the way?
Well, I would say my faith was constant, but my commitment ebbed and flowed.
Okay.
I continued after I was starting to be able to make my own decisions, driving, then off to college and beyond. I was committed in terms of going to church every Sunday, but I don't know that I was constantly walking the walk.
Mm-hmm.
But God was always present, and mm-hmm. that is... when I look back on my life, I see his patience with me.
You know, we have absolutely no idea what the future holds, right? And he does. And so he often cultivates things within our lives and is present with us in such a faithful and consistent kind of way, when unbeknownst to us at times, that he's working things out in our lives, knowing what is to come.
Absolutely.
And we are, you know, often kind of oblivious to it until we get retrospective, and then we're realizing like, oh my gosh, he was there, you know,
right.
he was working in my life. So I know that over time you've actually walked through some pretty dark valleys throughout your life, and I'm wondering how your spiritual muscle that was kind of grown through these times where maybe you weren't walking as much, but God was faithful to you. He was cultivating things in your life. You know, what can you talk to us about your experience with the Lord whenever you've gone through some of these dark seasons?
Sure. And you use the word retrospective. I didn't always understand what he was doing, but when I look back on my life and people that he sent to me to speak into my life, but also people he took out of my life, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes that hurt, but I see now why he did the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the most profound times in my life were starting in college, where I was a little bit aimless and but knew I was, and prayed for direction, and how he didn't answer me right away, but I was persistent in prayer, kind of desperate.
Mm-hmm.
and how he answered me so with such clarity and sent me such peace, and then how he led me when I answered his call and his direction, and how he just ordered my steps. That was really the first time his hand was so upon me that I felt it so heavily upon me, and I felt mm-hmm. so, he was my shepherd and he was guiding me, and that I'm forever grateful for. He just, every single step of my career led to the next one, to the next one, to the mm-hmm. next one. And I have to give him full credit for everything. I was heading one way, and I knew in my spirit it wasn't the right direction career-wise. And then he pivoted me like 180 degrees.
Yeah.
And he led me into the field of education, and he paved that way for me. He led me to my job, to the people. He led me to my, I had very poor students, very diverse students, which led me then to apply for a Fulbright, which took me into Central America, which led me to my passion for the Hispanic culture. That probably got me my next job, which was as a principal. And then from there, you know, I've worked with the most amazing people, went back to grad school, and then I ended up continuing. Like, I was teaching for a university in addition. And then this is way flash forward, but then I lived abroad and I worked in Europe. And then the population that I worked with there, even though I was still an administrator, I was overseeing a lot of special needs children. So then when I moved out west to California, then that it made sense why that happened, because now I'm overseeing even more of that out in California. And anyway,
he's in it.
He just led me every step. And
I love that. I'm really glad that you shared that, because I think so many people are, will sometimes kind of segregate their faith journey from their career path. And this is something I'm actually really passionate about, that the Lord is at work on earth, right? Not just in the church. And so he is working to redeem all things for his good and for his glory. And he is restoring things based on his grace. And so, and he does that through his people, and it happens vocationally and out into the world. And so I love for you to share that more, you know, detailed reflection, because a lot of people are seeking, and maybe they think, well, God doesn't care about my career. Oh, he cares a lot about your career. He cares about everything. And please, 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 if you have talent, skills, passions, abilities, seek the Lord, ask God what he wants to do through you on earth in, through your, day-to-day work on earth, so that he can meet people where they are and meet their needs and restore things and revive things. And that's what he's in the business of. And he can do it through us and through the work that we do while we're here. So I'm really glad that you shared that. And now, so I want to go back. You were kind of reflecting on the fact that through college, you really experienced his hand, and then into your career path and everything else. And what else would you like to share with us about times and experiences where God has met you where you were, and you've learned more about his character and who he is through your own seasons in life?
So at some point after graduate school, and I'm back working as a principal, I was local, is when I met my now husband.
Okay.
And that was a journey as well, because we were introduced by somebody who was from an Eastern faith, introducing us because he saw we both loved the same God. But we were on the opposite sides of the Christian spectrum. And so that was a wonderful journey together to just grow in our faith together. And so we both left the churches that we attended to find something that was kind of in the middle. Not compromising my faith, but compromising maybe the way I exercised it in church. So that's, you know, that this whole thing is part of my husband's testimony, but we have grown together, and it's been amazing watching God work in his life through some of the decisions that we've made together along the way. So then that's when God took us abroad, was after we got married. And so we experienced a pretty long season of infertility. And remember, I work with children. I love, I'm passionate about children, and always envisioned that if I got married, I would have them. And so this was a hard season. And I think there's a reason it's addressed in the Bible so many times, is because it's real. and it's hard mm-hmm. and it's very personal. But God grew me a lot. There were things I needed to know. One, I'm not in control. Two, He's the creator of life. And three, He's enough. Mm. I needed to find my contentment in God alone. And I got to that point mm-hmm. and I was okay. Mm-hmm. And that is when He blessed us. Mm. So I had a lot of, my husband and I were hard workers. We, when we put our minds to something, we typically get what we want. That's the way life had been for us. Mm. But that's not, maybe, you know, it's not us.
Right.
It's God's blessing. And mm-hmm. he needed that lesson. He needed me to learn that lesson. And I did. Through this season, and it was really hard, but He literally opened the heavens and gave us a boy and girl twin. So like, this is absolutely God. Obviously it was just incredible.
Yeah.
We had started the adoption process mm-hmm. and once we conceived, we put that on hold and we had boy girl twins. Now this is when and there's a lot to this story, but
mm-hmm, I bet.
While I'm pregnant, my prayer warrior and best friend, which was my younger sister, so she's the first one to find out, other than us, that I'm pregnant. She's the first one to find out they're twins. She's the first one to find out they're boy-girl twins. Right around that time, she got diagnosed with a really serious, aggressive form of cancer. Mm. And even though she's my younger sister, she did not have fertility issues. She already had four children. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that was really, really hard, because within 2 months of her diagnosis, which was right when I was finding out they were boy-girl twins, she passed away.
Wow, that was fast.
And it was really hard. And I'll tell you, so I was able to be with her for the second trimester, because I was living out at the time, we were in California, and I wasn't, because of the high risk of the pregnancy, I wasn't allowed to fly first or third trimester, but second trimester is, and that's another God's grace. I was able to be with her mm-hmm. and I was with her and with her children a lot, and with her when she passed, the moment she took her last breath. She's a believer. And I know I have great peace where she is, but it was hard. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
And it was just shortly after her passing, her boys, she had children, and they were at the time 2, 3, 6, and 8. And the 3-year-old turned 4 just a few days after she passed. So the 4-year-old and the 6-year-old boys, they're playing. And the 4-year-old said to the 6-year-old, "Why are you sad? You don't need to be sad. Mommy's with Jesus." And I, at that moment, I said, I want that for my unborn children. I want that faith. How do I get that faith for them? And I analyzed a lot about what my sister and her husband had done to build that faith foundation, where a 4-year-old, fresh 4, is mm-hmm. saying, "Mommy's with Jesus." So one of the things that she was very involved with in was a Bible study called Bible Study Fellowship, mm-hmm. BSF. Mm-hmm. So at the time, with children, there was like waiting lists for children. So I got myself on a waiting list for me and my 2 unborn children that were gonna be born by the time the next BSF season started. It wasn't until the day anniversary of her first year of passing I got the call that I got in with the twins. And so I enrolled. I got the message that mm-hmm. I belong here. And I did it for them, and I had no idea what it would do for me. Mm-hmm. So that has been one of the best decisions of my life. It's a very in-depth Bible study. And so I had a Bible foundation, but this is different. This really helped me and is still helping me, because mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I'm still in it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was for the kids, and really God, it was for them, but it was for me. It was for yeah. me. God had a lot in store for me. So I have really grown in my faith through that. The more you know God, the more you love God, and the more you love God, you want to serve God. And so that led me into becoming a leader in Bible study fellowship, which I'm still doing, and I'm still growing, and I'm still learning, and I've repeated some of the studies multiple times, but God's word is alive and active, mm-hmm. and each time a study rolls around, it speaks to me differently. So I would call myself now a scholar of God's word. I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And so that very hard thing led to very beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And I know my sister, if she's getting glimpses, I know that she's very happy.
Yeah.
That I have evolved myself in this.
I love how she inspired that in you. And actually her 4-year-old child inspired that in you. That's beautiful. Wow. Well, I'm kind of curious, you know, and maybe there are other times that you want to share with us as well of other things you've walked through. But I'd love to know what your takeaways are of God's character. Because I think that we're always, like you said, learning more and more and growing. That's why we talk about journeys on this podcast instead of just like a isolated story of an mm-hmm. event. You know, this is a journey that we're on and we're constantly learning. But I find that different people through their own life experiences have really gotten some insight into certain facets of God's character that is very poignant or profound to them in their life. So what would you say? What sticks out to you? And do you have any specific experiences that have accentuated that for you?
Well, God is harder and harder for me to define because he's gotten bigger and bigger as I've gotten right? to know him.
It's such a hard question.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I said earlier that he has pursued me throughout my life. And I, like I said, I have ebbed and flowed with my commitment to him. But he has never ebbed and flowed towards me. And he has always been present. And to me, it's just absolutely amazing that the King of Kings is on his throne. And I'm permitted at any time into his throne room.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
And he hears me. Mm-hmm. And he's there and he listens and he cares. He cares about the big, but he also cares about the little.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, I picked a word of the year last year and it was grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And focusing on gratitude last year was really profound for me, and it helped me see his hand more in the details of my life. I was more alert to it. And it is incredible, is all I can say. Like, he really cares about every aspect of my life as his child. And I'm a mom now. And I forgot to add, after he blessed me with twins, I cannot leave out the fact that he iced the cake with another son almost 20 months later.
That's amazing.
So it is amazing. And I pinch myself every day that he has allowed me to be a mom.
Right.
And they came just so beautifully and wonderfully made, and I've been trying every day not to mess them up. And there is a lot of power in prayer. If there's moms out there, they're really, I pray and pray for my children, and I see God's faithfulness to hear that. God is also light in the darkness, and that, you know, I told you a little bit about a dark season in my life, losing my sister, but even looking at the timing, so she passed when I'm pregnant, but God didn't give me one. He gave me two bundles of joy, knowing that I would be kept so busy doing something so beautiful to help me through that season. Mm-hmm. And even though my sister was younger, she modeled for me so well how to be a mom. And so I was able to productively and think of my sister every day and use the lessons that she taught me every day. And so she was still alive in my heart. And even now, you know, she said so many, she was so much wiser at such a young age that I still aspire to that wisdom. Things like, she said, I stopped praying for my children to avoid pitfalls, because pitfalls are what cause a lot of times us to look up to God and to want to know him more. And another thing she said, I remember, because I was in California and she was here, and we'd have these conversations, and I'd be like, it's so late for you. How are you not tired? And she goes, oh, it's just the tired season, because her children were all little. And she just was so positive the whole time of being a mom. She would even say, I can't wait for them to wake up from their naps. And these things I held on to during my very weary, tired seasons of being a mom with really three babies. And I tried to hold on to that attitude that she passed on to me. So that light in the darkness, like, it was just incredible. And there's so much more to that story about how, you know, her husband got married again, and that was really hard for me, but how he has used that as well. The fact that his wife, who's now the mother of the four children, how God has grown me through that relationship to the point where, like, we were even serving together at Bible Study Fellowship, and we worship together now at the same church. It's been a journey, but it's been amazing. And I'm just so grateful. She's an answer to my sister's prayers while she was dying, is like, Lord, bless my family. And and he did in this way. So it's really wonderful. But back to God, I want to also focus attention on his sovereignty. And part of what I'm talking about is his sovereignty, where he's working in my life, but simultaneously working in the lives of so many others, including this new wife, this mother of my sister's children. That was an answer to her prayers to be a mom.
Right.
And she loves the Lord and how he was working in both of our lives and the lives of the children and the lives of my sister's husband. So just how God is in charge and he's overseeing and he brings people in your life at the right time. He puts you where he wants you when you're meant to be there. God is love, and he loves me, and I am still unpacking that. My favorite verse in scripture is Romans 8, 38 and 39, which talks about the height and depth of God's love. And then, you know, I alluded to this, but just also how he is working all things for good for those who love him and were called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8, 28. And I see it.
Yes.
I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I see it.
Well, I can see it in your life. I mean, just in what you've shared today, I mean, you've covered the territory of obviously journeying as a young person and kind of finding your way in faith to a career path that is ordained and led by God, to parenting that is ordained and led by God, to marriage that is ordained and led by God, as well as God meeting us in all circumstances, the highs and the lows. And sometimes those lows are the deepest pit that we feel like we've ever been in, just deep, deep grief, both with the infertility journey as well as with the loss of your sister, and how God can show up in that deep, dark place and meet us right there too, you know? And so God's sovereignty over all things and his control over all things, but that it's done in love, I think is just really phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I'm so thankful that you've been able to share with us today about how you've experienced God in all of these ways, because he is so real. He's so present. And hearing stories like yours is just a way for us to remember that on a journey like yours, God is showing up in such powerful and meaningful ways.
We're promised in Matthew 7:7, if we seek, we find. And so if you really want to know why you're here, ask questions and seek him, and he will present himself to you. Mm-hmm. And then just take a little step of faith. The little steps lead to big steps, because you'll see he's faithful.
Yeah.
Always.
It only takes a small turn towards him for him to move in and really show you who he is. So just turn towards him. Thank you so much, Beth. This has been such a beautiful conversation. I've really enjoyed talking to you and hearing more about your life.
Thank you, Jessica.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.